I didn't get quite through last week's lesson. I'm actually not going to finish that up today because I want to get through tonight's lesson. If I have time at the end, we'll do that. But we've begun this three-part series on things to teach our children, specifically sins to avoid. And I'd left off spiritual neglect on that one. But if I get time to it, I'll come back to that one. The first night, like I mentioned, we're geared more toward younger children or teenagers. This one tonight is a little bit older, older teenagers, young adults, and so forth. But again, things we need to be gearing toward teaching our children. Again, all these things apply to us. We make sure that we're pure in all things. And we never escape any of these topics that we're discussing. But let's go and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll notice that some temptations are especially strong during the youthful years. Verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So again, in talking to Timothy here, telling him to flee any youthful passions or passions that are mostly seen during our youth. But again, it can affect us at any age. And all these different sins to avoid, they can be put in any category. This first one has several things under it, but it's under things to avoid be revelries. So what's revelries? A simple definition, an earthly definition, is a boisterous festivity. Okay, there's nothing wrong with gatherings. There's nothing wrong with getting together and doing things. But the thing I want to focus on with this is, again, nothing wrong with those gatherings and having a good time, but it's often the things that are associated or go with certain things. As in anything, a lot of things out there are not simple, but it's what we do with them or what's included with them that make those things to be wrong or simple. And along with this also, which is huge and can't stress it enough, is choosing our friends wisely and teaching our children to choose their friends wisely. Keeping an eye on who they're friends with. Sometimes that escapes us with that. So people get reputations even at young ages, unfortunately, and it can affect our children. But the first one is revelries. And again, with this, nothing wrong with gatherings and even good parties, having a good time and so forth. But we're talking about such things as rebel rousing, sowing one's wild oats, what kind of atmosphere they're in and doing those things and who they're with. In groups and so forth, doing unlawful things. Sometimes they do it for fun and adventure. And don't forget these things. And we were all young once. We don't do much in life unless it's fun. We don't often do things that are unpleasant. And so, like it or not, these things can be fun. And that's one of the reasons they may do it. We talked about last week why some people steal. Some people may have needs, and that's why they steal. Some may be bored. Some may just enjoy those things, unfortunately. But for a variety of reasons. It can be something as simple as well as we think about just speeding down the highway, which we don't see as a horrible, horrible thing. But the implication to that is safety, for one thing. But they're also breaking the law. I had a friend who, he first got his license, he was driving down a two-lane highway. Now, there was nobody there. It was safe. But he just got his license. He was by himself, and he just started back and forth both lanes. And he was telling me this story later because he got pulled over. A cop caught him and came up to his door and said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he couldn't say nothing besides put his head down and say, "Just being goofy." And that's what he was being. Not that that was a sinful thing there, but what if someone had pulled out? And so things that we need to, you know, little things that seem insignificant. And in this case, it wasn't reverie. He was by himself. But we see that often, a lot of times, when kids first get their license, especially, and they're just goofing off. But we got to teach our children that goofing off can sometimes turn out in bad ways. Getting out and damaging property. We, again, saw the incident a few weeks ago of some youth who were bored and got out and do those things. I had a friend in school, this same friend, as a matter of fact. When he was in middle school or high school, they went on some field trip, and he got in trouble for this one, too. He's a good guy, by the way. He just But he was with a group of good kids, actually. This is a good example. Even good kids can do some stupid things, I guess you could say. But they go on a field trip, and they had a bunch of projects that they were presenting. And they were bored, and they snuck in when everybody was out of the room and destroyed a couple of projects. Now, had I found out about this, he got back to school and immediately went to the principal's office and had to tell us about it. Of course, he had to apologize and pay for those things. But again, what you would think are good kids trying to have fun, but doing some mean things. You know, those people did those projects, and they put a lot of hard work into that. And think about how they think about him now. Okay, so reputation and so forth. So that's kind of some smaller things, what we would consider smaller things that may happen. But then you've got going to wild parties, where we think more of revelries. And what's often at these parties? It's a lot of drinking sometimes, okay, drugs, and dancing and so forth that cause movements that cause young hearts to lust and so forth. Some young people do sinful things to have something to boast about. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Again, we talk about what's the reason why they do this. They could be bored. It could be fun. They could be a mean-spirited person. Again, the people they're hanging around with. As we know, example after example of people who got in trouble being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And so we need to teach our children about these warnings. But verse 23 of chapter 10, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Again, to some people, just doing wrong is fun. It's a joke. It's all fun and games. Not that they're doing it for mean-spirited reasons. They're just having fun. It's a joke to them. It doesn't mean anything. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. And again, what I want to press on this is we can teach our kids, you know, not all these things are done for what we would consider bad motives. They're just ignorant, being young, being stupid in some certain things, but it can cause problems. Chapter 2 and verse 12, delivering you from the evil way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Now here in this case here, they actually get joy for doing bad things. And there's those out there as well, even at young ages, unfortunately. But they do things that, and they glory in certain things that they should take shame in. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 19. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with mindset on earthly things. So they take glory or pride in things that they should be ashamed of. But they're young, and they may not realize it sometimes, or with the friends that they're with. And again, once they get a bad name, as we all know, it's hard to get rid of a bad name. Christian young people are often led into evil things by the company they keep. We won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Okay, but the company that you keep. And again, the company you keep can be to your good or can be to your destruction. Back over to Proverbs. And we often, kids will go somewhere and we're like, well, who are you going to go with? Who are you going to be with? And we were glad when they say someone's name and we're like, oh yeah, you can go with them. That's fine. And we want our kids to have that same name and reputation. We often have parents where the boy, well, Alex, not Lucas, but Alex will be invited to a get-together, and other parents will call us and ask if Alex is going. And we'll do the same. And they're okay with it if he's going. They'll know there's some good kids there, a good crowd there. And that's good and feels good to have that those phone calls when they come. Verse 20 of chapter 13. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Again, a good thing there. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Again, wrong place, wrong time. It's happened countless times. And we got to teach our kids about the bad things out there, the risks that are out there with who they're hanging out with. And also teach them that God wants them to be happy. You know, a lot of young people are down on religion and certain things because God just don't want me to have any fun, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. But God wants us to be happy. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, and we'll begin at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And of course, that's a lesson they haven't learned yet. They'll learn as they get older and they get more mature and leave their childhood. Comments or questions about that? Again, I really want to emphasize on there, it's about the company you keep with that and the things that are done in these group settings. The next one is, sins to avoid, is immodest apparel. And again, we note this goes both ways. This goes for, we often hear about it for women, but it goes both ways, men and women, because both men and women lust and look at the others. So teach to our kids that this is nothing new, that God has always been concerned with dress. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 21, told here, and the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And we won't go into as far as lengths and certain things like that for time's sake, but just take note that God has always been concerned with how we dress. Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you're on Facebook, this is a very popular verse that's been showing up on people's pages here lately. Verse 5, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Again, God has concerns for these things. Now we're back in 1 Timothy again, in chapter 2. And we'll begin at verse 9. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down. Chapter 2, verse 9. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Again, with this, again, nothing wrong with having nice things. But I refer you to CL's lessons on stewardship. You know, some of these things can get out of control. Can you afford these things? Is a big part of that. We won't get into other details about that verse and the meanings. But that's one of the things you can look at. But again, the clothing must be modest from a standpoint of cost. 1 Peter 3 and verse 3. We won't turn there for time's sake. And also, again, as we read Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the second part of that one. It must be modest from the standpoint also of decency, okay, sufficient length, amount, proper kind, properly arranged, and so forth. Christians should never make a public display of their body. And I think Mark's had some lessons on that in the past. Again, we shouldn't be out there to have ourselves looked at. We're to be different, but not to stand out in certain ways. I'd mentioned last week, if you remember, about when I was in middle school and this self-esteem movement had started. If it's the 70s when it started, I don't know. But I remember when I was in school, especially middle school, that, of course, attire has definitely changed. It's a lot skimpier now than ever. But back then, people wore bigger clothes. And I'll just give the example, especially because I just noticed, if especially a female, but it could be a male, if they were overweight, they tended to cover themselves a lot more. They wore big sweaters. It was very, very popular. Thick, heavy, long sweaters was very, very popular. Think back whenever you were younger. And they just were, whether they were embarrassed or whatever reason, they made sure they were covered. And then this self-esteem movement started that you, you know, you're precious and your body's special and you show off your body. And it just went too far. And you'd watch all these other TV shows, these talk shows, and they'd have all these girls on there wearing very skimpy things, and they're proud of their bodies. And that's how far that self-esteem went. And I'm going to show off my body. I'm going to do this and that. And that's one of the bad things that came out of that movement. teaching overly too far to be proud of your body and show it off, and so forth. Any questions or comments so far? Again, women, and this goes both for women and men, but women who do not, or people who do not dress properly can cause a lot of damage, okay, as far as getting the other sex to look at them. And properly dressed catches the eyes of men and vice versa and causes them to sin. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And especially at these young ages when they're maturing and hitting puberty and hormones and so forth, really need to stress to our children how they need to be. And the responsibility, to have a sense of responsibility both ways. Chapter 5 and verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, it goes both ways, and both can be at fault. Yes, the person who looks and lusts is at fault, but did the other party play into that by what they're wearing to some degree? And so something to teach our children with that. Some try to defend immodest dress by saying, well, if they wouldn't look at me and lust, it's their fault, it's not mine. But we've got to realize we have a part to play. We shouldn't be putting a stumbling block in front of them and trying to attract them and make them lustful toward us. When they say this, it sounds much like from Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 20. Talking about the adulteress here. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. She just lives her life and has no responsibility toward others in how they dress. So something to impress on our children. Think of the damage that Bathsheba did by her immodesty. And let's turn over there real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 2. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. Of course, we know the rest of the story. Was David wrong to look? Was Bathsheba wrong to not be a little more discreet? Maybe realizing the situation where she was at. Be aware of your surroundings, that someone could be watching. She had no idea whether he'd be watching with that, but could she have been more discreet in that? So did she play a part in that? Questions about attire or comments? The next one is dancing. And I'm talking more, of course, we know modern dance. We've had lessons on those. But provocative movements that try to generate lustful eyes. And it might not be dancing, although you see it a lot. I go to a lot of ball games. My boys play sports. I'm sure you've been to them too. There's dance teams, there's cheerleaders out there and so forth. And as a man, it's embarrassing to watch because of the movements. But you feel embarrassed not to watch because you're not paying attention to them. So what do you do? Back and forth with those. And I've heard other men say the same thing. You know, they're just uncomfortable, especially older men. They're just uncomfortable in those situations. But those movements that are very commonplace and accepted in today's times. But again, here we're speaking of more common dances among worldly people or movements in general. And notice a lot of these things go hand in hand, the clothing attire and the movements and so forth. Dancing is revelry or is often involved in revelry or riding in the case we're talking about. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so my words are going to be a little different than yours possibly if you have a King James or other. Dance is not mentioned specifically here, but verse 13 as well, chapter 13. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but again, these movements and the sensualities and so forth. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 through 21 we'll read here. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, a list of several things there, but include in there sensuality and so forth. And then 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 3. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. And again, these can go with, again, with revelries. A lot of times, again, you'll see all these things together. Again, it's not so much what they're doing, it's the environment they're in and what's associated with them. A group of kids going out and having a good time, that's fine. But how are they conducting themselves in certain things? Vincent's Word Studies defines revelries here as a festival entertainment that's accompanied by carousing and dancing. And that's his definition of that. Not that that's the only definition. Dancing is lasciviousness. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. If someone has King James Version, please, I don't have that. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Again, dancing is not named there, is it? But lasciviousness is. Vines defines that lasciviousness as that which tends to produce lewd emotions. Can that describe dance movements? Dancing, if we notice, is also of the world. Turn to 1 John. Again, it's not named specifically. But what's the intent behind it a lot of the times? Verse 15 and 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, it's trying to produce that lust of the eyes, the flesh, and so forth. Dancing can be destructive. Again, what type of dancing? Those type of dancing that's intending to cause provocative eyes to look upon them is the type of dancing we're talking about here. But it's destructive to purity of thought. And can destroy safeguards to moral purity. Stories told of one Christian who asked, "What's wrong with good old wholesome square dancing?" And another Christian said back, he was referring, by the way, to a yearly event where the townspeople used a shopping center parking lot to have a picnic, and they would have square dancing. And another young Christian answered, "You know that every year before that dance is over, several people get drunk and they haul them off to jail." And he said, "You're right." So again, the world has trouble with wholesome things that usually turns not wholesome. It's the things that accompany other things. And another good lesson for our children. Something may seem good and all right, but what else is going with it? Who are you with? What's your intentions? What's their intentions? Wrong place, wrong time. Questions about that? Or comments?
Yeah. Are you saying it's wrong or right?
What's the intent of the movements?
Person stops.
Are you dancing?
You know who it is. Because when it comes, I've always had problems with this and I got to learn more. Sure. But the first thing that comes to my mind is when David rescued the ark from the Philistines, he danced. Nothing said that he'd done wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4 says there's a time to dance.
What kind of?
That's what I'm getting at. Are we saying it's wrong, or are we trying to find something?
Define dance for me. There.
Define dance. I don't know. Show me how David danced, and I can define.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
Was it foot dancing? Was the guy? You know, the guy in the movie that done the foot dancing?
Could have been.
I mean, I used to go to the girls' ball games when they first started. I would go in, and I was just amazed to watch the girls shoot because they could outshoot boys. Yeah. I go outside, some guy says, "You're going in there, you're lusting in your heart over them little girls." Well, they're out playing a sport. I'm going in there because I enjoy the sport. The thought never occurred to my mind until he said that, and I thought, "What's your mind on, buddy?"
And that's the good point. What was your intent?
Yeah, what was his intent?
Exactly. So what's the dancing's intent? What type of movements is it?
Mm-hmm. To a lot of people, it's the athletic.
Can be.
Yeah.
What are they wearing? How are those movements construed and so forth? I mean, a lot of times, like I mentioned, we go to these ball games and we see certain dancing there and it's embarrassing. Those movements are obviously provocative.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you've...
But the ones doing it, the kids that really don't know no better, to them, they're doing something they enjoy. Yeah, I don't think it's their intent to entice people. It's the person that's sitting there watching them needs to get up and walk out.
But do they have a responsibility on the same side, knowing that they can draw those same eyes? And that's kind of what we're having in the class, things we should be teaching our children. Maybe they weren't ever taught.
Their parents know what
their parents are there. The coaches that teach them these routines are adults. They know.
But are they of the world?
They're of the world.
Yeah. And again, we're speaking to Christians. We're not speaking to the world. We're trying to teach Christian thoughts to our kids.
Well, for some reason, I thought when we go and teach the world, we are talking to the world too.
Well, I'm talking about just in general in this class, though. Hmm? I'm talking about in general in this class. Okay.
I just need to hear more.
I want to ask you a question. You can make the day, but I don't know what kind of. They did dance, but it was probably more festive dancing, celebration dancing. Not unmarried couples.
It was still a movement. We don't know what they wore. Right. We just know that the intent of a man, only the man knows.
Right.
And if it bothers him, get up. Some people, it don't bother at all.
Right.
I can sit and watch Dancing with the Stars, and I'm amazed just by the movements they do. I can care less what they wear.
But you've also seen some movements on there probably that were a little less than, well, more questionable, I guess you could say.
Some of the things that we talked
about. Yeah, but it didn't cross my mind at the time. I was amazed at how fast they could move their feet and how they could do acrobatics and everything else.
Yeah.
It was a sport to me.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we talked about upstairs, and you know, we've had it down here too, we've all discussed some, is does it set us apart from the world?
Yeah.
Does it glorify God? What example are we making? We're to be separating ourselves from the world, not blending in with it. You know, there's a lot of those principles that you're required as a Christian to do. Is that the kind of things that do that?
Yeah.
We have no examples of any kind of dance that God, that as far as worship or anything like that goes, there's nothing to that effect. Got to apply those general principles to a lot of these things. Because, you know, when you get to the tattoos, the ear piercings, yeah, we've got some scripture on those. But in some of those areas, we're very lacking. And we have to start applying those things. Are we godly in these things? Are we separate, different from what's around us? Is it separating us? Is it glorifying God? Or is it destroying our ability to influence?
You know, I thought many times, I've said even recently, the way that women are dressing now, if you put, there would not be one woman that would go into a room full of what they call Muslim, I'm talking about the Muslim that are the problem people, that are rapists, all that, there would not be one immodest woman across that room. They'd be fully clothed. They would not go there. Because they know that it excites the men. They know that. And, you know, I got to say, those football games, I'm just about even basketball games, I'm offended. Those girls get out there and they make those. It offends me. I just resent looking at it. And, I mean, I don't even watch it. They're right there in your face a lot of times. And, it's a shame that the parents see nothing wrong with their daughters acting like that in public.
They want them to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sport for them, and you know they're very skimpy clothed, and I mean some of the movements they make are just downright vulgar, and it's shameful.
And it starts at a very toddlers already.
Yeah, and it's in their face. People that goes to watch a normal sport, nothing wrong with the sport, but that's there in our face. It's, you know, just right there in our face that we have to be exposed to that in our kids. You know, I
got to
tell you, I resent it.
You might have to, you know, you've got the definition, you've done a good job of definition, that which excites, okay? Now, that also, as Mike said, you've got to be careful, say, all forms of that. I made that for sure at the house, man, her. Is that wrong? No. But again, it's the idea, as Brown points out, that we're taught this for a particular purpose. This is not to show off our athleticism.
No.
Okay? But all forms of Mike Mitchell David, you know, there may be a form that does not cause that particular.
Yeah.
The definitions that the Bible gives, but what would say that all is, I would, you know, with all forms of dancing are, or husband and wife, or brother and sister at home, or whatever.
That's why I mentioned it depends, the first of it, it depends on the type of movements, what's it trying to incite. I don't deny that it's exercise and very amazing to watch sometimes, but in the same thing,
in itself, it's an exhibition.
Right.
It's a display.
Yeah.
It's a movement, and that's something that's made to look at, watch, and that in itself is not a good thing when we draw attention to ourselves.
Right. You know, it's done for that particular purpose, to draw attention.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of times you'll see those movements, and that's what gets the biggest cheers. So, and it's also the environment. I mean, you know, if it's competition, why not have an all-female audience? And vice versa. So, there's several things that go behind that. So I hope that answers it somewhat. That's it. And was everyone partaking and dancing? Or, you know, a lot of times in our environments nowadays, someone's showcased where all this to see. It's not necessarily a celebration like you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he was glorifying God. Yeah. There was nothing in this as far as himself making an enjoyment. He was who he was. He was trying to do anything to people. He was celebrating, and his heart was right with God. And we don't see any condemnation from God for him doing this.
Donnie had a comment there when he gets back. We could have done a whole lesson on dancing, apparently.
I still don't understand. You know, you can go on the Olympics, everybody watches. Well, the gymnasts, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you got the wrong idea about them. Yeah. Hell, that's your fault. That ain't theirs.
Donnie, I got a good lesson, sermon topic for you. Donnie, you had a comment?
As opposed to saying, I want to get as far away from what's ungodly.
as I can. And so when you think about dance, a lot of times it's accompanied with the modesty, what you were talking about earlier, whether it's a gymnast or a cheerleader or ball players or whatever, people that are exposed in body parts are not supposed to be exposed, whether it's the thigh or whatever. And according to Bob, they will be rendered naked. And so I think it has more to do with just are they moving their body, but what are they wearing? And you know, if they're doing it, even if they're doing it, yeah, you may not have thoughts. The very fact that they're modestly dressed is wrong on their part.
So again, both things in conjunction there as well. So good comments. I look forward to that lesson, by the way.